Monday, December 30th, the sixth day in the octave of Christmas. First reading from the first letter of St. John, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. I am writing to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God remains in you, and you have conquered the evil one. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its enticement are passing away. But whoever does the will of God remains forever. Haydock Commentary. St. Augustine and others think that by these different words, I write to you children, I write to you fathers, I write to you young men, he only means Christians more or less instructed and advanced in the knowledge and practice of the Christian faith. Others expound it with a regard also to their different ages and advancement in years. If any man love the world, that is, this wicked world, or anything in it as pleasures, riches, honors, so that his affections be more upon these than upon God, the charity of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life, means all that pleaseth the senses, a longing after such things which enter by the eyes, as of riches in gold and silver, in apparel, in houses and palaces, curiosity as to vain arts and sciences, and honors, dignities, and preferments. But the world passeth away, as do all these things that belong to it. The Gospel from Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 40. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. Anna was a prophetess, one who instructed the young women in the law of God and in piety. For at this time the Jews had no prophets who foretold future events. But that Anna foretold the hidden things of the future is clear from verse 38, where she prophesied about Christ. For though the Jews had no prophets until the time of Christ, yet God raised up prophets at that time, such as John, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Simeon. Hence St. Ambrose says, "The birth of the Lord received testimony not only from the angels, from the shepherds, and from his parents, but also from the aged and good." Every age and both sexes and the wondrous nature of events build up our faith. A virgin conceives, the barren brings forth, the dumb speaks, Elizabeth prophesies, the wise man adores, he that is shut up in the womb exults, the widow confesses, the just man is waiting for his coming. Her father Phanuel was a well-known man at that time. Phanuel in Hebrew signifies the face of God. His daughter is Anna, that is grace. For grace proceeds from the face and from the mouth of God, and is breathed into the faithful. The place where Jacob saw God face to face in Genesis 32 was called by him Phanuel. By means of her fasting and prayers, she served God night and day. St. John Chrysostom eloquently commends prayer made by night. "Behold," he says, "the company of the stars, the deep silence, the great calm, and admire the dispensation of thy Lord. For then is the mind purer, lighter, and more subtle, more sublime and agile. The darkness itself and the great silence have the power of inducing compunction. And if thou lookest upon the sky, dotted with numberless stars as with eyes, bend thy knees, groan, pray thy Lord to be propitious to thee. He is the more appeased by prayers made in the night, when thou makest the time of rest the time of thy struggles. Remember the king, what words he said, 'I am weary of my groaning, every night wash I my bed and water my couch with my tears.' So Christ used to give the day to preaching, the night to prayer." See Luke 6:12. So too St. Paul, Acts 16:25, 2 Timothy 1:3. So St. Anthony, St. Hilarion, and the other anchorites. Nay, the church also, as is plain from the nocturnes, which monks still chant by night. Not only did Anna praise God, but she began to discourse to others of Jesus, asserting him to be the Christ and exhorting all to believe in him. Allegorically, Christ, when born, appeared to three groups of persons in three ways: to the shepherds at the indication of an angel, to the Magi under the guidance of a star, to Simeon and Anna guided by the Holy Ghost. Again, the shepherds saw Christ, the Magi adored him, but Simeon and Anna embraced him. So we first recognize Christ, then adore him, and then when we are no longer children in virtue, but old men, embrace him with arms of love. The massacre of the innocents took place, says Euthymius, Toledus, and others, a little after the purification of the Virgin and about the time of the Passover. St. Augustine, however, thinks that they fled immediately from Jerusalem, and returning thence 9 years after, went back to Nazareth, as St. Luke here says. Moreover, they returned to Nazareth before their flight in order to arrange their affairs there and to prepare what was necessary for the long journey to Egypt. And there was abundance of time for their flight, since the interval between the 2nd of February, the date of the purification, and the Passover, when the massacre is said to have taken place, is about 2 months. Euthymius explains that Christ did not receive greater spiritual strength inwardly day by day, since he was full of grace and the Holy Ghost from the first moment of his conception, but that he exhibited this strength more and more outwardly by word and work. Theophylactus says that Christ does not acquire wisdom, for what could be more perfect than he who was perfect from the beginning, but he was revealing it little by little. For had he manifested all his wisdom whilst he was small in stature, he would have appeared, as it were, monstrous, and as though not really a child, but a phantasm of a child. And the grace of God was upon him, that is, all the favor, goodwill, care, and love of God the Father towards the child Jesus, as his Son, brooded, as it were, over him from out of the heavens, to adorn him with gifts and graces, to guide and dispose him in all his actions, that all might see that he was ruled and in all things directed by God, and that his actions were not so much human as divine.